The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to John. As he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken through Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel today, we encounter and experience Jesus as the ultimate crisis in our lives. Or as I like to say, the opportunity to allow the light of God to transform our lives. So let me make this term clear. I'm not talking about tragedy. Tragedy is an event that causes great suffering, destruction, or distress. A crisis is a moment at which all future events, for better or for worse, are determined. A crisis is a turning point. A couple classic examples are that of the alcoholic who has lost his family, his home, his job, and is drinking himself to death, and one day wakes up and realizes if he continues to do so, he will die. That's his crisis moment. On the other end of the spectrum, we have the example of this very successful business person who has sought their entire life to fulfill themselves with money, power, property, and prestige. And upon achieving and acquiring everything they ever wanted and being at the pinnacle of success, they realize their lives are still empty. They are at a crisis point. So Jesus, as the light of the world, as the ultimate crisis point, when we encounter this light, we are given two choices: to move deeper into the light or deeper into darkness. Our blind man today, because of the culture and the time, would have been seen as someone absolutely separate from God, or as the scripture says, born in sin. He would have been seen as unworthy of God's love and grace. And yet, here comes Jesus, and with no conversation or explanation, heals this man of his lifelong blindness. This man is actually a victim of grace, if you will. He did nothing for it, indeed didn't even ask for it, and yet Jesus heals him, something that has never been done. It is a crisis point in his life and those around him, because people say, "Is this the man who was blind and used to beg?" And some people say yes. Some people say no, it can't possibly be. But in our short story today, this man is healed. He has experienced God's grace, and he's unwilling to let it go. The powers that be want him to deny that healing. They want him to say either that he wasn't born blind or that the source of his healing was a false one, a sinner, that Jesus didn't have the right to do so, to heal him. And even though there's great incentive for this man to deny his healing, he refuses to do so. He says yes to the light. And as our scripture goes on, his understanding and his immersion in that life, that light increases. He first calls Jesus simply by name, Jesus. They then ask, "Well, who is he?" He says, "He is a prophet." A further time, the Pharisees ask again, and he says, "He is a man of God." And finally, once the blind man, or the previously blind man, has been kicked out of the synagogue, he meets Jesus and calls him Lord and worships him as God. He has seen the light, and he refuses to let go of it, and despite the consequences, grows in his belovedness and understanding of grace. On the flip side, we have the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were the religious authorities at the time. Now, I'll start off that Pharisees were not bad people. They were just doing what they thought God wanted them to do to keep God focused and central and right. There were scriptures that said if someone healed on the Sabbath or the day of rest, that they could not be from God. Now, Jesus is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing in the world, and unfortunately, their eyes are so narrow on what it means to be from God, they don't see God working right in their very midst. The crisis point comes, and they want to deny it. They see themselves as the owners of the light, not the receivers of the light. And they see God's grace as narrow and exclusionary versus expansive and all-encompassing, just like light. And the real trouble is they use this authority destructively for themselves because they continue to blind themselves from the truth that Jesus is from God, but also they kick this previously blind man out of the synagogue, which means they shun him from the center of worship, the center of culture, the center of community. It's literally exile for all of his sources of support and community and faith. They refuse to see Jesus as the light of the world, so they blind themselves and push themselves further into darkness, which is another word or understanding of sin. Now, at the end of our scripture, Jesus says that he came to judge the world. And I think that phrase gets a very bad rap in religion a lot of times, because it sort of says that God is up there saying, well, you're bad, or you're good, or what you're doing I like, but what you're doing I don't. But that's not the lens of judgment in this scripture. In this scripture, judgment is simply exposed. It is not proclaimed. Jesus comes as the light of the world and shines that light to all of us. And we have two choices. Redemption, wholeness, or what's called salvation, is moving towards the light. Judgment is moving away from it. So judgment is not God from on high saying, you've done wrong. It is God saying, here is the light, the hope and healing of the world. And judgment is when we, by our own choice and delusion, walk away from that light. So the two examples I started with, the alcoholic at that moment of crisis has two choices. Wholeness is giving up the life of booze, getting into recovery, and healing. Judgment is continuing the road to death by drinking. The business person has two choices. Salvation is recognizing that life will not be fulfilled through money, power, property, and prestige, and then realizing that life is about giving of others or celebrating our relationships. Judgment is doubling down on the pursuit of physical things, getting the divorce, getting the new girlfriend, buying the hot car, getting the new boyfriend, continuing that pursuit of satisfaction and ultimately empty and dead things. So the good news is, we are a mixture of both. We sit here today because we've experienced true life, true joy, grace, wholeness, the authentic Jesus way of life. And we seek more of that. But there are parts of us that are like the Pharisees. We think we know what's right. We hold on to resentments, anger, entitlement, elitism. And we don't want God to come into those places in our world because we're in charge and the darkness suits us just fine. But the invitation is to move towards the light. And the other good news is that this is not a one-time crisis. Jesus, the light of the world, shines always, and every moment is a new opportunity to let go of the darkness and move into the light. But I will say, as much as I've been talking about us as individuals here, Jesus is also speaking at a corporate level. To us and to the Pharisees as the religious body of their time. And so I have to point out that there is a warning to us as faithful Episcopalians about whether we're still in the darkness and denying God's light in the world. I attended a conference yesterday put on by the Diocese of Los Angeles called Requiem or Renaissance, the Future of the Episcopal Church in Los Angeles. And the truth is that 30 years ago, people thought that God was dead, that we in 30 years would be like Europe and nobody would go to church and nobody would be interested in religion. But the truth is the opposite has happened. Not only has an eagerness and an inquiry of faith or spirituality exploded, It's in vastly new forms with new religions or new age stuff, also yoga and those Middle Eastern practices. There's an aliveness of people hungry for the Spirit. And yet in those same 30 years, we as an institutional denomination, our numbers have dwindled and our average age has gone from 35 to 65. So where are we as an institution, as a people and body of faith? Where have we maybe closed ourselves off to the Spirit that is all around us, seeking to explode in our corporate and communal life as well? Lent is the intentional time to engage in the continual crisis of Jesus, the light of the world, to reflect on where we, personally and communally, refuse God's grace and God's call in our lives. And then hopefully, we allow God's light to enter in, to heal, transform, and guide us. Amen.